Amen. Aren't you glad it's Sunday? All right. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Take your hymn books, please. Turn to number 53. Hymn number 53. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen. Lift it up on the first verse together. Here we go.
Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, love of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving. He is with me too.
On the last verse, Jesus, Savior. Over to 217 now. 217, my hope is in the Lord who gave himself for me. 217. Second verse,
no merit of my own, his anger to suppress. My only hope is found in Jesus' righteousness. For me he died, for me he lives, and everlasting.
Singing this morning, but hold your place there. We'll come back and sing the last verse in a moment, but we're going to give you a chance to shake hands with those around you while the instruments play. grace has planned it all.
His grace has planned it all. His mind.
Thank you so much for the good singing this morning. You may be seated. We have a ladies' trio to sing for us now at this time.
Some churches seem so different from when I was a child. Some churches seem so different from when I was a child. The songs they sing are not the same as they were before. The hymnals they used long ago, it seems they've disappeared. But sometimes I find myself longing just to hear. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away.
Now these new songs talk. But there's nothing sweeter to my ears than that fountain filled with blood. I guess I'm just old-fashioned, like those songs of old. But there are times I make it through the day, holding to this hope.
Because he I'll fear is gone.
Thank you, ladies. What a blessing. Amen. Reminding us that only the blood of Jesus saves the lost. Amen. Our ushers are coming down to see if we could get a record of your visit. If you're visiting with us, if you'd raise your hand, the ushers will give you a card and a pen, and you could fill that out and drop it in the offering plate. We sure are glad that you're here. Raise it up high enough, and they'll fill that out for us and drop it in the offering plate if you're visiting. We have several announcements, and we want you to tell you right here in the front, the flowers that are in front of the pulpit are given in loving memory of Michael Larson. He went to heaven on August 15th, 2015, and so appreciate the Larson family doing that for us and bringing that in and remembering Michael, and was a member here and served the Lord through our ministry, and so again, remembering him. Kicked off school on Friday, and what a day we had out at camp. Be in prayer for them. Many young people making decisions. Some undoubtedly need to accept Christ as their Savior that are in our high school. So just continue to pray as the school year goes on that they will come to the saving knowledge of the Lord. And again, that the teachers and just all the folks around them, there'll be a witness to them throughout the upcoming days. But did have a great day out there, had activities. Brother James had games, and I was out there. Dr. Pitts and the Mrs. Pitts, I'm not on the prayer list, but pray for them. They're on that trip that they had their 50th anniversary being here as a part of our church, as well as their 50th wedding anniversary. And so they are headed out to Alaska. I think they're there already. Hopefully they're on the top side of the water in the ship. Amen. And so be in prayer for them as they travel and enjoy that time. But they did get to slip away with that. And I got to see some of the stuff they were putting up because we were trying to cut some of the grass out there. Brother Pitts being gone, I was out there you say, preacher, you cut the grass around here, if they let me. Every once in a while, it's just nice. They call it diesel therapy, although our mower's not diesel. It still was an engine, and it cut grass and the smell of grass. You say, you'd rather do that than other stuff. There are some things like that I'd rather do every once in a while than some of the stuff that I'm called on to do. But again, I enjoyed that, and I got to see they were hanging. All I know is it was a great big ball. It was bigger than I am, and there was a tarp, so the two teams couldn't see each other. And I thought, somebody could get hurt doing this. I better cut this grass and leave before I see it, all right? So, and then we can call Brother Weeby when something bad happens, all right? So, amen. We laugh about that, but it is, for teenagers, folks, it's not fun unless somebody can get hurt. Anyway, so, we will be celebrating. You should see it in your bulletin. There's an insert there. Pastor Carter is going to turn 90 years old, amen? And him and Mrs. Carter will be celebrating their 68th wedding anniversary. We'll be doing that, and on the August 24th, we'll be doing that as a church. His birthday's on the 18th, so we put an insert in there just to kind of give you some suggestions and things, but also we want to use it as a church fellowship for all of us getting together. So we won't have cake that we will have provided for them and for you, but we want to have a full-on fellowship. We want you to bring all the finger foods, and so that has to mean that there are chicken fingers in the midst, and then all the bull peanuts that you can eat, because I'm not touching them, and then all the other things that go along with it. But we want to have a full fellowship, so that's in the insert. But we wanted to get it out a little bit ahead of time so that you could think about what you want to bring and also be aware of that. Lots of things coming up as we begin school. Half Notes will start back up. That's our children's choir, and you can bring your children up here next Sunday, August 17th at 6:15. And children ages 4 through 5th grade will be able to participate in that. And so we want you to be able to do that again. And then also, our back-to-school revival is coming up, so we want you to get it on your calendars. That's going to be from August 25th through August 29th. We're doing a little bit different. Usually we tell you what preacher is preaching that whole thing. This year we have different preachers coming in each night of the back-to-school revival, so we're excited about that, and we'll give you those names coming up. But also, the care meetings will begin to resume on August 26th. That's a Tuesday at 5 p.m. in the Village Chapel. Brother Perkins will be leading that. And then this coming Sunday, the 17th, we want you to be a part of Bob and Sue Paulin. They invite you all to celebrate with them their 50th wedding anniversary. They're going to be putting that on over in the Village Chapel over there after the evening service. So everyone is invited to go enjoy that with them. And we'll continue to invite you to do that. If you don't know where the Village Chapel is, then ask someone and follow them over there. Amen? And it's not far, all right? And then also, I want to make sure, didn't want to forget this. Thank you to everyone that helped us get school going back, not only staff, but there was a lot of folks in our church and ministry that jumped in and helped us fix things, and just the summer workload. Appreciate everybody that did that, and even we had the bus lot. If you'll see some things change, and if you were displaced, if someone, you know, I know how it is in church when someone takes your seat in church. That's bad enough, but when somebody takes your parking spot. So I know a lot of you park on the back street, and this week we replaced some blacktop, and people in the church helped us do that, and so the buses couldn't go through the bus lot as we let that cure back there, and so all our buses are parked on the back street in a different place. So if you normally park there and you move so that the buses could be there, thank you for moving and parking somewhere else while we want to continue to make sure we have all those folks where they should be as a part of our church. And thank you to everybody that helped us. The men did that just this past week, and what a blessing it was. Looks good, and I hope it'll last a long time for us. As we turn our attention to the prayer list, I want to make sure that we pray for some of these. Folks have asked us to take them all, so it's a little bit shorter right now, but those that are recovering from surgery, Wyatt Wooten and Miss Barbara Alchis, continue to pray for Dalton Maloney, Norma Strickland, and Ron and Kathy Martin's unborn grandson there. We've mentioned that many times, but be in prayer there. Continue to pray also for Miss Cindy Bradford, who's going to be going through that needs that chemo and immunotherapy there, and continue to pray for Juanita Ballard as well with stage 4 cancer. And then, if you would, I'll just say thank you to everybody that made the trip up for the Hutchinson family there for the memorial service yesterday. And if you would, continue to pray there for the family. The gospel was given in a very appropriate way, but continue that many of them will let that sink in over the next few days and weeks, and they'll go to someone and accept Christ as their Savior. Let's stand together. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Ask Brother Perkins to come and lead us. You remain standing after the prayer for the offering.
Let's pray. Father, we do love you this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. And Father, we do lift up all these that's on the prayer list. Lord, you know every need and every name. And Father, we just pray that you'll be in the midst of each and every one. And Father, we lift our schools up to you this morning. Father, as the new year begins, Father, we ask you blessings upon the teachers. We ask your blessings upon the children, and pray that you'll guide and direct, and ask for a good school year. And Father, we just ask your blessings on all the upcoming events, Lord. And we ask that you'll take care of everything there. And Father, we ask your blessings upon the service this morning. We pray that you'll be with the preacher as he preaches. Father, we ask that you'll open our hearts and our minds and allow us to receive all that you have for us. We ask now a blessing upon the offering, the gift, and the giver. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
You may be seated. Pastors ask us to pray for our school this year as we got started on Friday this week. We ask your prayers for that. We take that responsibility with a lot of understanding that that is a great responsibility, and we need your prayers. The Bible talks several times about seeing the potter mold the clay, and that's what we're doing at Landmark Christian School. We feel like potters molding the clay. And the choir song this morning was written by Ron Hamilton for the FACS Florida's Teachers Conference several years ago. It's called Molding a Masterpiece. Thank you so much, choir. Let's stand together again. Please take your hymn books and turn to number 86. Hymn number 86, My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. This is a prayer. I hope you sing it as a prayer to your Savior this morning as we sing. On the first verse, My Jesus, I love thee. Savior art thou. cross, 'tis now. On the last verse together. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee. In then so bright, I'll sing with a glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love Jesus, 'tis now. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Before our message this morning, Sister Sandy Johnson is going to sing for us at this time.
The gulf that separated me from Christ my Lord was so vast, the crossing I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where you are. So he came to me. Bound by chains of sin, he came to me when I possessed no hope within. He picked me up and gently drew into his side, where now today in his strong arms I now abide. He came to me. He came to me when I could not come to where he was. He came to me. That's why he died on Calvary's tree, when I could not come to where he was. He came to me when I could not come to where Jesus was. He came to me.
Johnson. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and go to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter number 6. Familiar passage of scripture for many of us, and maybe not for you this morning, but we'll be preaching there. Genesis chapter 6. And right down to the passage of scripture, we'll read it today. But the title of the message is this: Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I think a lot of times for most of us, as you turn the pages, we on a daily basis as men, sinful men, sinful women. I'll just say this, that sometimes we forget that God sees everything. There's not a place, not anything that's going to be hidden from him, not anything that he doesn't see. And I'm thankful today that I can say that I'm saved and on my way to heaven, and that every sin that God ever saw or will see was paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't wake up every day and think to myself, I worry about what God will see today, and that's going to determine my destination. What Jesus did on Calvary and what he paid for my sin will determine where I spend eternity. Because I put my faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, but I'm glad for this, that every day now I have the opportunity and an urge to make sure that what God sees in my life is more and more like Jesus on a daily basis. I really feel like a lot of times when we forget God and we forget that God is watching, oftentimes we begin to act like the world and act like there is no God. We live in an age of where if the public school is going to start back up, just like we started back up, and we're going to teach that God is the creator, and they'll teach that everything happened by accident. If everything happened by accident, what does that make man? An accident. And if an accident can happen in that way, then I can accidentally do whatever I want. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you that's not how it is. God is truly the creator. He exists. And just because man determines or decides to put God out of his own view doesn't mean that God stops seeing everything that's going on. It's important for us to understand that God saw a lot of things in the passage of Scripture and that we see a lot of things. And there are a lot of stuff in chapter 6 that I will not preach on today that I could go off on a tangent and preach on. And I believe that for all of us, the Bible is true, every word. You ought to settle that in your heart. But it begins to talk about God's interaction with Noah because the sin of earth had become so great. By the way, multitude, he's going to say this, and I'll just state this before we read it. I'm going to make the multitude of sin increase because man increased on the earth. We live in a day and age, and sometimes we think it's because sin has gotten so much worse on planet earth. Can I submit to you, the Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun. And the reason that it has multitude to a place where sin is so expressive, so out front of our face, is because of one simple reason. Not that man has gotten worse, but there's more of us than there has been, except from the days of Noah. You can believe what you want, but if you take and understand, I'll just say this for all you ladies, I know that you don't think of, again, but one of the judgments on Eve was that she would what? She'd have struggles in childbirth. Well, imagine if you were before, God's going to state that man, he's not going to struggle with man, but 120 years. Imagine if you could live 1,000 years and that you had good childbearing years and your 100 years that God gave you here. Think about how many times you could, about a little less than half, but you know, you could bear children, right? At that rate. Imagine if you had, you know, 400 of those years to bear children. Amen. How many could you bear? You know, how many could you bear that you bear? Amen. And training up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord takes on a whole new meaning. It takes on a whole new look. And for all of us, we sometimes put everything in the Bible into our little world. And if they're having children for 400 years, how many children are being reproduced on planet Earth in this short time period over that 1,000 years? And again, what's estimated, again, any good theologian numerically can come up with at least 7 billion people on planet Earth before the flood came. And if we're going to say, just like in the days of Noah, folks, we've surpassed that now. We've passed over the billions of people, and not only have men multiplied in the earth, but sin has multiplied in the earth. And we see it every day. We pump it onto people's cell phones, we pump it onto television, and again, even sometimes folks that are Christians forget that there is a God and that he wants us to be more like his son, to die to ourselves daily and live for him. Folks, this world before the flood came the majority of men, think about this, all but one man in his family had forgotten that there was a God and were living like there wasn't one and just doing exactly what made sense in their own eyes. What world do you live in today? Do you live in a place where most men and women around you just do what is right in their own eyes? I'll submit to you, in the day and age we live in, there are a lot of people that call themselves Christian that do what's right in their own eyes. They act like we don't, not only that they don't have a God to serve, but that they don't have the Word of God to give them direction and purpose in their life. This morning I want to read and preach to you, but if you would bow your head and your heart, I laid a foundation now and I'm going to preach on it as fast as I can, so you're going to have to listen. I'm going to pray for your ears that you can listen this morning. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. I thank you for being in your house, and I thank you, God, that we have your perfect word to preach from. And we know that this word, Lord, that every person that sits in this building is a relative to Noah and his family. God, I pray that you would just help us to understand that your word is real, that you are real, and that, God, you're still watching us on a daily basis. I'm thankful, Lord, that you saved me. I'm thankful that, Lord, you saved so many people in this room. But, God, if there's one that doesn't know Christ as Savior, that today that they will make a choice to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But for all of us that are saved, God, help us to realize that we live in the end times and that God is about to judge this world and that we should live in a way that brings glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. In verse number 1 of chapter 6, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of man came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown, and God saw." I want you to underline that in your Bible. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." In verse 8, it's the title to the message, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was what? Corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in it." Look at that, in the ark, "and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." Now, we could continue to reading, but he gives directions on how that the ark should be built. And he talks about how not only are Noah and his family going to join in, these 8 souls that will get on board of the boat, but he also talks about all of 2 of every animal and 7 of every clean animal will get on this boat. And he comes all the way down, and he says in verse 22, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." I want to submit to you this morning that God never leaves man without direction. God never leaves us without instruction. God never leaves us in a place where he's not watching, for 2 reasons. For most of us, on a daily basis, we have a warped perception of a holy God. And when we are obedient to his command, he is watching because we are family. Can I tell you that I'm glad that God watches his children? I'm glad that God cares for me. It's important for us, and one of the reasons that this message was born is because I wanted to remind you again, I have grandchildren. I love them, all right? And I don't watch them the way I used to watch my children. My grandchildren can do no wrong, even when they do wrong. Instead of me getting upset and wanting to whoop them, I go, oh, he's okay. It wasn't that bad. Hey, do you know God loves us all as children? God doesn't have any grandchildren. Do you know God, just like I did with my children? You know, even my daughter, my youngest, all my older children go, you didn't treat us like that. You know, by the time I got to her, you know, it was like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They were like, you didn't even get past 1, and it was. We didn't even hear 2 and 3. We were going, what just happened? You say, preacher, really like that? Yes, there was correction. There was instruction. There was direction. Not because I didn't love them. I was watching because I wanted them to be just and perfect in the earth. Did you get that? Why that those two titles? Now, was Noah perfect? Absolutely not. But his worship was perfect. Do you know, for all of us, it's important, because when Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, the only folks that find grace, you say, well, anybody can come however they want through any religion. No, that's not correct. Because not every book that people choose to worship a God out of was written by God himself or given by inspiration of God. There are books, listen, you know the Quran today, you may not like this. That's all right. When you preach, don't preach like this. The Quran. There are more people in the world today under the Muslim faith than there are true Christians. You minus out the Catholics who don't really even claim to be Christians, but the world lumps them in with us. Listen, you take them out of the fold and Muslims outnumber us. You say, preacher, what are you trying to get at? Even in their book, the prophet Muhammad says, I don't even know who gave me this book. He even says in the book that he thinks it could have been a devil. And still people read the book. Listen, I'm not going to read a book and hold it as a faith, a book that can get me to heaven or to serve my God, if the guy who wrote it or penned it down isn't even sure who gave it to him. You know, not one writer in the Word of God ever questions who was speaking to him. He knows 100% if it made it into this book and it's a part of our canon and it's part of the perfect Word of God, that every person that penned that down, they knew exactly who was superintending their pen. They didn't question it. They didn't, and they especially didn't question it and think it was a devil. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, Noah comes to a place, and Noah is the singular man in an age where people in their minds were evil continually, who continued to believe in God and his existence and how God wanted him to walk with him daily. He said, I can't imagine that. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, is it what Jesus said to his disciples is, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? If that's not a sign of what we live in this age, listen, there's going to come a day as the world waxes worse and worse. Listen, they're not going to put up with a bunch of people. You say, well, America is free. Yeah, okay. Like during COVID, when we had an opposite idea that now is coming out, that them shots really weren't all that good for you. And now they're causing all kinds of heart problems. Oh, preacher, this isn't popular. That's all right. Again, when you preach, don't preach this way. And that the thing they wouldn't let us have is the thing that we needed to take. That the government said, we're going to restrict you. Now, you could buy it over the counter until the government realized it was helping people. And so they took it from you. Why? Because they wanted you to take their solution. They wanted you to take their shot. They wanted you to take what they thought was going to help you, or what they decided was going to take down the numbers of people. You say, people wouldn't do that in government. Are you for real? Did you walk in here so naive that you don't think the government is not always of the people, by the people, and for the people? You say, preacher, why are you getting after that? Because I believe that, listen, we Noah lived in a day just like we live in. Noah lived in a day where, against all odds, he had been the faith that once was delivered to Adam, passed down father to father to father, and finally there was one man left that said, you know what, I'm going to continue by faith. It's not popular. Not everybody else is doing it. It's not the way everybody else dresses. It's not the way everybody else talks. It's not the way everybody else worships. But I'm going to be faithful in my age and in my generation to continue to worship and love God and to follow Him according to His word. The just man was mean he was justified by his faith in Jesus Christ, in a coming Messiah. It was promised all the way back in the garden to Adam and Eve, and they were continuing in that faith, and that Noah that was there, he continued. What was perfect about that man? He was a perfect man, the Bible says. Listen, can I tell you that there is going to come a day when perfect faith will be separated from all the other things people have put their faith and trust in. We live in an age of, listen, there's all kinds of things you can believe in. It takes more faith to believe that there is not a God than there is one. It takes more faith to believe that everything happened by accident than everything coming accidentally in order. Listen, we've got to come to the place where, whether you believe it or not, the public school is teaching our children a faith-based curriculum. And it is a faith of not a fact, but of a theory that a man came up with, that everything just bang and it was. And then spittle that happened by accident grew legs and crawled out of the slime. And then it grew arms and a tail and it swung from a tree. And then after a few more thousand years, it became you and me. I reject that. Listen, if you want to run around and go, ooh, 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 that's wrong. None of us evolved from anything else. We were created in the image of God. Do you know why they actually take that and say we evolved out of spittle? Because it spits in the face of a holy God who made us from the dirt, the ground, and formed us in His own image. How does it spit in the face of God to say that He does not exist, and the image on earth that exists of God and His in His creation spits in the face of God and says we happen by accident, that we do not look anything like Him or share any kind of form of godliness? You say, preacher, why are you getting after this? Because I really believe, and I want you to understand this, and first and foremost is, for those of us who believe in God and those that reject Him, God is watching. There are books in heaven, and I'm thankful for the book of life that records my name, and when the day my name is written down, and it will not be missed when God calls His own to be with Him, my name is in the book. It's written in the Lamb's book of life, in the blood of my Savior, Jesus Christ. But folks, there are not just one book in heaven. There's a book recording the judgments of the Lord. There are bottles full of tears of the saints. There are vials filled with vengeance that when man rejects God and sins against Him, and I mean great abominations against the Holy God, God in His loving kindness and long suffering, instead of pouring out that judgment, He stores it up. And He stores it up. And He stores it up. You don't think that all these hundreds of years that have transpired between Adam and Noah, that God hadn't been storing some stuff up? And finally, God got to the place where it repented Him. The Bible uses the word that it grieved God at His heart that He had even made man. And then God pours out judgment. Listen, in the form of water. It's been raining a lot, and we've needed it lately. But can you imagine that you had never ever seen rain on the earth? And when it started raining, you know what it would look like? When the thunder was crashing and that lightning that you had never seen cross the sky, you would see that as judgment. You wouldn't thank God for the water that is going to fulfill, take care of the grass and everything. And when all that rain kept going and kept going and kept going and it finally started piling up, you'd start realizing that God was angry from heaven. And the one that you had said did not exist existed and was now washing the sin that's on the face of the earth away. Most of us don't always think about the flood that way, but listen, even the flood itself is denied the existence of God. They explain it away and say it was a localized flood. Folks, you can go to any continent on planet Earth and climb the highest mountain peak, and if you just do a little bit of digging, you will uncover all kinds of fish of the sea fossilized on mountain peaks. And the only way they get there is not by a localized flood. None of them swam to the top of the mountain or hopped like a nice, you know, catfish would. They're not hopping themselves to the top of the mountain. All of those things got there because water went way above the highest mountain peak on earth. Because God flooded and washed away the sin that had broken his heart. But all the time, while all those things were fossilizing, fish, animals, men's bones all on the top of mountain peaks, most of the men's bones that are in the highest mountain peaks, they didn't get there by somebody climbing it. They floated up there in the flood. You say, preacher, why are you preaching on this? Because I really believe that, listen, the next thing on God's calendar is to rapture out his people. And the long-suffering of God will have passed just like it did in Noah's day, and he will pour out his judgment upon this earth. And I don't want anybody that's under the sound of my voice to be around here on earth during that time of judgment. I want you to be where Jesus wants you to be. Jesus came and died on Calvary and paid your sin debt. He was the ark. That ark pictures the Lord Jesus Christ, a place of safety, one of transport, past the judgment of God and into the wonderful. Listen, even think about heaven and all the things that we know. He said, make an ark, make it with rooms. It was created and built for a place of a safe haven, a place where all the judgment of God couldn't touch. He says, pitch it within and without. It's a picture of the blood of Jesus Christ covering all sin. And when he looks at us, he doesn't see our sin. He sees us just as if we'd never sinned, justified. Folks, I'm just going to tell you today, God is watching. God's not just watching, but God is grieved at the sin of this world. He is broken in his heart at what man has done again to this place, and it will ultimately end in another flood, but it won't be a flood of water, it'll be a flood of fire that has passed forth. And I mean, listen, one time he flooded and washed the earth, this time he's going to purge it with fire. That same God is not just grieved at his heart, but I want you to see his look at verse number with me, look at verse number 7. I want you to see, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made him. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The man that had walked with God, when God decides that judgment is coming, God didn't cast judgment on every man. God looks at every man. He's seeing everything. And I'm thankful today that he not only categorizes some men as those that have rejected him, but some that have received him as Savior. Noah, at this time period, was looking forward to the coming Messiah. We look back to what Jesus, the Messiah, did on Calvary and paid in our sin debt. What he's already finished. Noah looked forward to it. We look back to it. And we can accept it just like Noah did. I want you to see this, that the earth was corrupt. In verse number, look at the verse. He says in verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. It is amazing to me, after salvation comes into the lives of Christians, instead of continuing to walk with God, we choose to enter into the corruption of this world. The New Testament passage would tell us to be not conformed unto this world, to be what? Transformed by the renewing of our minds. We have God's instruction. What did Noah focus on? When all the corruption of the world continued to take place and God gave a space of grace and built a boat big enough for people to get on, and Noah preached and encouraged for them to get in. Today, we encourage people to get in Christ, to accept his finished work of salvation, to come on and come on. But one day, if you read in this passage of scripture, you'll realize one day God came to Noah after he had preached, after he had worked on this boat, and he had focused on what God instructed him to do while he left him here during that time. Then judgment came. But before the rains fell, God came to Noah and said, listen, that boat that I had you build, this thing that I had to give you for safety, I want you to go on and open the door. Do you know that God's revealed us the same way, that he says that one day, while we're in the midst of the work that God's given us to do. Now, I'm thankful today that God doesn't ask me to build a great big boat out here in the parking lot in the middle of the highest point in Florida. Now, most people, a lot of preachers and people that come to town think that we're a seafood town because we're in Florida. We don't really have a whole lot of beaches here in Haines City, do we? A big boat would probably be not used as much again, and we're not looking for a flood of water. Aren't you thankful that the rainbow that the sodomites try to steal from us is a sign from Almighty God that he'll never judge the world like he did? When we see that, and we see rain coming down at the end of the rain, the rainbow comes up in the sky, it's God's contract, his covenant with man, that he will never again flood the earth. It reminds me that God still remembers and that God's still watching, that God puts it in the sky to remind us that we shouldn't be corrupt like the rest of this world, or let this world conform us into their thinking and their way, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind on a daily basis. Walking with God for Noah was literally trying to walk in God's way, and probably God comes and speaks to him, much like he did to Enoch. Enoch walked with God and he wasn't anymore. He was a relative of Noah. For all of us, walking with God today isn't going out on a path and letting God walk with us, but taking a walk through his word on a daily basis and letting God speak to our heart and our mind. And listen, if you really believed and understood that this book is the transforming book, it's the book of salvation, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, that this book can transform my mind on a daily basis, why wouldn't we get in the word of God? Why wouldn't we take his direction and instruction? If you're saved and on your way to heaven today, listen, what are you doing with the word of God? The true options of this life is to let the world continue to corrupt you, or to separate and walk with God in his word on a daily basis and be transformed by the word of God. The world can't have you anymore, but don't think the world can't continue to corrupt your mind after you get saved. You will be servant to whom you put yourself under. You can serve the Lord or you can serve the devil for the rest of your life, even after you get saved. The difference is your father's no longer the devil because you accepted and were born again in the family of God. But I can tell you this, as a Christian, you know how it starts when you head out of God's will and God's way? It starts out and you're broken and heart burdened that you're away from God. You feel an absence of the presence of God strongly in your life and you want to have it back. But you know, if you continue down that road of corruption long enough, it won't bother you anymore. You'll sear what the Bible says as a conscience inside yourself, and instead of conviction happening during the preaching of God's word, you're looking across the auditorium and thinking about who else needs that preaching. You'll think about, that wasn't for me. Or you're not even helped when you come. Nothing happens. What would scare me to death is one of two things don't happen, that I don't fall under conviction or say amen to the preaching of the gospel. I just sat there and just, it didn't mean anything to me anymore. That's a seared conscience. You say, preacher, why are you preaching on this? Because I really believe we live in an age where the devil has more access to corrupt the minds of Christians than he's ever had. We live in the last days, and just like the days of Noah, the number of people that are walking with God and following Him are dwindling on a daily basis. Because, listen, whether you believe in Jesus Christ or not, there are people who are saved and believe that Jesus is coming. And even in this room, there are people that know that Jesus is coming, but you're not looking for Him. You know, the great thing of this is that realize that God is watching all things, but one day He is going to not only be looking, but He's going to be coming back for us. That the trumpet's going to blow and I'm going to be looking for His appearing. There are a lot of us as Christians. How do I know whether I've taken the first step of being backslidden? You got to the place where you're not looking for His coming anymore. You think everything's just going to continue on like it always does. And that I can just, I don't have to be right with God today. I'll get right when I know He's coming. Folks, you better mark it down. Jesus is coming. There aren't many more warning shots to be fired. There's not many more flares that can go off. Everybody gets shaken up when there's another blood moon or another star in the sky that happens, and all of us are, maybe He'll come now. Can I tell you, you don't need another blood moon before Jesus comes. You don't need another 9/11 before Jesus comes. You don't need another catastrophe in the world before Jesus comes. He could come just like that in the twinkling of an eye, and you've had all the warning that you deserve. You've got more than anybody else in any age of people have ever received, and still we move on. And we allow the world to corrupt us. You say, preacher, why are you preaching at Christians like this? Because I want you to wake up. I want you to realize that we live in a day and age that people are dying and going to hell. There's more people in our town than there's ever been to witness to and to encourage to accept Jesus Christ. And if we truly were looking for His appearing, we would be looking to take others with us. If we were walking in His Word on a daily basis, we wouldn't want to corrupt ourselves, but we would be transformed by the renewing of our mind and focused on what He wants. But instead, many of us live just like we did in the days of Noah. I guarantee you, more people than just Noah went to his church or his synagogue or his gathering. But out of that whole group, God chose one that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. One man and his family were spared the tragedy of the rest of the world. Why? Not because there weren't other people that didn't completely, but they had been corrupted by the world. Their minds, their belief, their fellowship of the Lord. For all of us, aren't you glad that it's not of works, lest any man should boast? Today we don't measure works for salvation. It is the finished work of Jesus Christ that saves the lost. In truth, you can't work your way there. You can't be baptized. You can't church membership your way into heaven. But I'll tell you this. If you are saved, there will be fruit of Christ being in you. There will be a change in your heart and your mind and your actions and your desires. Say, preacher, I can take you to a day and remember when that happened. Well, that's good. You remember the change that took place? You remember the desire that you had for lost people? Remember the desire that you had to serve God and it was the most important thing in your life? Let me ask you, who changed? Did God change? Or did you change? The strong desire that God put inside of you, did you keep the fire going or did you let it burn out in your life? I've learned this. This right here is the logs that you put on the fire of your heart. It's the one that will tell you that Jesus is the Savior and that He's the only one worth serving. And if you don't put the gas or the logs on the heart from this, it burns out. It burns down. Folks, I'm just going to tell you this morning, as we come out of the summer and we get back into the routines of this life, one of the greatest routines that you ought to get back to is the Word of God. Because it is what changes you from the inside out. The thing that will change your life. Listen, if you're here and your routine is just going to church and you don't know Christ, then you need to change your routine. You need to get saved. Coming to church ain't going to save you. Going to church is what saved people do. Under the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, and so much the more. as we see the day approaching. Saved people that are going to church ought to be looking for the return of Christ. Can I tell you, what did the world do during Noah's day? Noah's out there, man that's serving God, he's working, swinging a hammer and preaching. Hey, listen, I'm building this boat because bad things are happening. It's going to be rain. What's rain, Noah? Well, it's judgment of God. He's going to wash everything clean. He kept swinging the hammer. Boys, bring that next piece of wood over here. Elephant, carry that log over here. Right? I mean, all the work of God is happening at that day, and men just stopped to watch it happen. And they mocked him. You know what people do on social media today to the church, the ones that are true believers in the Word of God? They mock us. They stand back and they mock us and they say, oh, that's just, listen, and who's changing? Are we changing or are they changing? They're the ones that are changing. We stayed faithful. We're staying steady with the Word of God. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, if you're not careful, you get caught up in the corruption of this world. And one day when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, even as a saved person, can you imagine standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, not answering for your sin, but why did you change your stance on the Bible? Why did you stop dressing the way you knew you should dress? Why did you stop going to the house of God and cut out your Sunday night and Wednesday night services? Why? Every opportunity to stay the course and be faithful till Jesus comes. Listen, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to stand there and him say, you know, this sin or that sin, because they are under the blood of Jesus Christ. What we're going to answer for is the purity of the Word of God and the practice of the local church. Jesus is coming, folks. What an opportunity he is. If we bent or moved or changed our mind because the world did that, you know what you still got time to do? Repent. Get back to the old way, the old time religion of following Jesus Christ in his way. Oh, yeah. You know what's going to happen on social media? All those people that praised you when you changed will mock you when you go back home. But one day, when we stand in the line and give account unto the Savior, guess who won't be mocking? Guess who will be standing and waiting for their turn when they give an account? And there'll be folks that stood through the mocking, just like Noah. And they'll hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Folks, I tell you, listen, we live in a day and age of change. And the sad part is, why are we changing? To glorify man or to glorify God? What is God? He changes not. He didn't change his word. Man changes his word. God didn't change his will. Man changes their will. God doesn't change his way. And if you look at the passage of Scripture, I'll clearly show you right in there. The thing that man had corrupted was his way. You know what people corrupt today? Most religions have corrupted. They've added something to Jesus. They've added works. They've added baptism. They've added all kinds of things into the way people get saved. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He made it so simple. You know, he didn't say, but by me and works. But by me and baptism. But by me and this, he says, but by me. This morning, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary, his death, burial, and resurrection, you will be, according to the Scripture, born again into God's family. You'll receive what God gives as the gift of eternal life. And the only way to get it is not by works, lest any man should boast, but by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Today, it's just that simple. If you can believe in your heart that Jesus is born, he died, and he rose again, living a perfect life, you can be saved. If you can confess that to God and say, God, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus is the very Son of God, that he came from heaven and died on Calvary and rose again in victory. And he is, I pray that he'd give me eternal life. Listen, that's as simple as salvation truly is. But the Bible says you got to do this. And this is the part that most men have trouble with. And I'll lump you ladies into it too. Pride. They will not humble themselves as a child and ask or accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. They put themselves and their pride above humbling and asking to be saved. Listen, don't let pride keep you from getting saved today. Pride kept people from getting on the ark, and they died and drowned to death when it was offered freely to them. The door was open, and they could walk in and be saved. God had a boat big enough for all these folks to get on, and the door was shut, and the rooms, some of the rooms were empty because God had room to save them, but they wouldn't get on. They mocked. They said, what would people think? Do you know what most people in this building today that know you're not saved, the reason you won't walk the aisles is because you're worried about what somebody will think? That was how I was. I grew up in church, sat in a pew, and one day, under the preaching of the word, I remember bowing my head and saying, God, I'm not going to go to hell for anybody. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I want to go to heaven, and I'm going to get saved because I don't want to go to hell. I'm going to accept what Jesus did for me on Calvary. Listen, if you're lost today, don't go to hell for somebody else. Don't go to hell because of what somebody thinks. You get saved and do business with God. With our heads bowed and eyes closed today, simple message from a passage of scripture that you're familiar with, but if you're here and you don't know Christ, don't leave without accepting Jesus as your Savior. If you're a Christian today, could I just say, God loves you. He's watching, not for your sins on a daily basis, but to encourage you because you're His child. He wants to chastise you back into His will and His way. As we stand to our feet and the music gets ready to begin, would you step out and accept Christ? Would you step out and do business with God? If you're away from Him today, come home. If you need to be saved, why don't you make your way to the front and receive Christ? As Brother Bert sings, you step out and come.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Folks have come. Will you bow your head and your heart today and pray for those that need to be saved? If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior, the invitation is to you. We invite you to step out and make your way to the front. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven because you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Please don't leave without Jesus today. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed another day. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says, and you can accept Him. The invitation, would you make your way to the front while heads are bowed and eyes are closed? Come and be saved. Come accept Jesus Christ. As Brother Bert sings, would you step out and come?
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
Amen. This morning, the message is because we live in a sin-cursed world. Amen. Let me just say this. If you're here this morning, you couldn't bring yourself down and you say, I just couldn't walk the aisle. I was too scared. Why don't you grab me at the back. I'll stand at the back and you could take my hand and say, "Preacher, I want to get saved. I don't want you to leave here lost and on your way to hell. The reason I preach so hard and I want us to stay the course is because people still need to be saved." And maybe that's you this morning. I was one of those people a long time ago and somebody shared the gospel with me and I got saved. Please don't leave lost. We're going to close in prayer this morning, but I'll say this. As Christians, let's stay the course till Jesus comes. Let's be faithful until he comes to call us away. Amen. As Brother Bert already mentioned earlier, Christian school, we have a bunch of young minds that can spend a full day being corrupted by the world, or they can be in a Christian school. Pray for our Christian school. On a daily basis, they're in the Word of God trying to transform their mind. It's worth doing on a daily basis, and it's worth, as our church, as our ministry, let's pray for it. Amen. Let's pray together as we go. Dear Lord, I thank you for your church. Lord, I thank you for the blessing of being able to be a part of it. Today, without a doubt, Lord, there's somebody that heard the preaching today in this building that needs to be saved. I pray they wouldn't just walk away and leave and be lost. Lord, I pray that if they're here and they know they need to be saved, they would go to me or someone in the church and say, "I need to be saved." And let us take a Bible and show them how to be saved. I pray you'd be with our buses and our families, everyone who's here. Give us safety, Lord, as we go. Bring us back to church tonight at the appointed hour. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.